going to the world, let us agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving, and we say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this evening that the truth of your word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion. There is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this evening. I will declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's try put a few additions to the few things we've been seeing over the past few weeks. If you go with me all the way to 1 Corinthians 12, we're looking at spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're looking at spiritual gifts, and we're trying to examine revelation gifts, particularly in the last few weeks, into more detail. So if you look at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, so it says, "Now concerning spirituals, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." And said what the ignorance is, what that means to, you know, stay in willful in a willful position where you ignore knowledge, right? So I would not have you to be ignorant. We usually would jump to verse 3 and verse 4 just because we want to pay attention to the gift. So verse 4 says, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operation, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." So it says verse 8, "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit." It says, "To another the faith by the same Spirit, and another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, and to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. But all this worketh that one and self same Spirit." Now, if you look through our practical session on Sunday, we sort of paid attention more to revelation gifts through the lens or through the wing of tongues interpretation, if you remember that on Sunday. So we paid more attention to tongues interpretation as the vehicle, or as the lens, or as the pathway by which we would give revelation, you know, to people, and give or minister rather in the revelation gifts. So that's very important. Yeah, so let's just do a quick touch on, you know, tongues interpretation as a whole, right? Just to enforce our hearts as to what we know and what we've been saying over the last few weeks, and much more than that into years. So if you look through verse 9 again, it says, "To another faith." But if you look at verse in 10, "To another working of miracles, another prophecy, another discerning of spirits, and another kinds of tongues." Now, if you go all to, if you have a good Bible, you see the word "diverse" is not there. Okay, you see the word "diverse" is not there. So the reason I just said that is that it's very important, because a lot of times people argue from the standpoint that tongues are languages of different communities that you've not been to, or different communities that you don't speak. So they admit that it's a supernatural experience, but they also admit that the supernatural part of it is the fact that you're speaking a language that, you know, another community speaks, but you might not know. And one of the things we've said is that the moment you speak a language and another can understand, I didn't say interpret. So can you speak in tongues and another will interpret? Okay, maybe we'll practice that on Sunday. Okay, yeah. We'll practice that on Sunday, right? So can you speak in tongues and another will interpret? Yes. Can you speak in tongues and another will understand? No. So the moment your tongues is understood, mind you, there is a difference between understanding and interpreting. The moment your tongues is understood, then it has ceased to be tongues. You have now begun to speak the language of another by a miraculous experience. Also, it's by an expression of miracle. So does it happen? We've had examples of people who go out to reach out to, to the lost, and where they we meet people from diverse or different parts of the world, they will just communicate certain things in their language that they've never learned or never spoken in their lives. That's supernatural. Okay, that's supernatural. That's a miracle. However, what was spoken was not tongues. The moment what you so if for instance you want to try to speak in tongues, and when you are trying to speak in tongues, what the other person says you are saying is that they understand you in their language. And what is happening is a demonstration of the miraculous, right? An expression of faith, definitely, gift of faith, definitely, but it's a demonstration of supernatural to reflect or for God to show and a way God shows his love intentionality about us as humans. Okay, so but moment you say you are interpreting tongues, it means that the tongues that was spoken, excuse me, the tongues that was spoken initially was not something that somebody else in another part of the world will understand. Okay, so but it's something that somebody else that is a believer can interpret. So I can speak in tongues, then you can speak in tongues. You can speak in tongues, then I can speak in tongues. I can speak in tongues and you interpret. You can speak in tongues and I interpret. Do you understand that? Right? So, but I just said all of that to say that the moment interpretation comes in, it's not from a place of understanding, but from a place of interpretation that is bringing to forth to the full consciousness of man what God is saying to them. So Paul says, well, diverse kinds of tongues, say to another. Interpretation of tongues is, but these all worketh that one and the self same spirit divided to every man severally as he wills. Now, if you go to chapter 14, we've done a lot of study in chapter 12, explain a few things in chapter 13 about how charity is the fulcrum and the foundation by which we give expression to the things of the spirit. Are we together? All right. If you go all the way to chapter 14, so look at 14 there. It says, follow after charity and desire, right? Desire spirituals, but rather that ye may prophesy. So look at verse 2. For he that speaketh in tongues speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. You see what I just said, right? No man understandeth him. He didn't say no man can interpret it. Are we together? It is no man understand. That means the mind of man, the faculty or the faculty of man, or let me say this differently, the faculty of man's knowledge that handles the responsibility of language as a conversation, right? Cannot understand. I would get so if I grew up learning or speaking only English, let's say French, right? When you speak in tongues, I'm not going to hear French, I'm not going to hear English. The moment you are speaking French and it's supernatural, right? It means that what is happening is an expression of miracles, right? That's a supernatural activity. So that does that happen? Yes, it does happen, right? So but Paul now says that when tongues is spoken, you see. Understanding is not what man gets from tongues when it is spoken. It is actually meant to be interpreted so man can interpret. So man can bring interpretation to the tongues that is spoken. See, why is it possible for you to be able to speak in tongues and me interpret or vice versa? Well, it's because, excuse me, the spirit responsible for tongues in you is the same spirit responsible for tongues in me. Altogether, right? The spirit responsible for tongues in you is the same spirit responsible for tongues in me. So it's very important for us as a local church to pay attention to what exactly does the Bible teach about tongues. Are we together? Or let me say that differently. What exactly does the Bible teach about the Spirit of God and by extension the gifts of the Spirit? Right? If you look at verse 2 now, you say, for he that speaketh in unknown tongues, 1 Corinthians 12, 14, 2. Speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the spirit he speaks what? Mystery. Now, you see that word there, mystery. That word there, mystery, is the word mysterion, right? If you check the consistent use of Paul's, the use of that word in the context of Paul's writing to Corinthians, you see it quite a number of times, probably over 20 times used, right? And it's a word that actually speaks about something that needs to be uncovered. Yeah, I usually would say something that used to be revealed. So both of them are the same. So something that needs to be uncovered. All right. So if you read that statement in verse 2 again with that mindset. Look at verse 2 again. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. For he that speaketh in tongues speaketh unto men. but unto God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh those things that need interpretation, or those things that need to be uncovered, or those things that need to be revealed. Revealed to who? Revealed to the mind, the conscience of man. Okay, so he says, for he that speaketh in tongues speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the spirit he speaks mystery. So the word there, mystery, is the word mysterion. Now, the word there, speak, the word speaker there, is the word laleo, L-A-L-E-O in the Greek, laleo. Why do we use Greek when we talk or when we teach? Why do we use Greek words? It's because really, the Bible you and I are reading right now was not originally written in English language. So it means that by default, there's been what you call translation, and much more than that is interpretation of the original manuscripts. Okay, so the word there, speak, is the word lalo, and that word implies an act of regularly speaking, or irregular speaking. Right, the word that you just use for, you know, just for talking, basically. So that word there, speak it, there is not as much as a special word there. No, I can speak regularly in tongues to God, because that word there, speak, just speaks about, you know, talking. All right, so if you say that, if Paul says, how be it in the spirit, he speak it. So what is Paul saying? Well, that there's a regular conversation, right, that is happening when tongue, or there's a conversation that is happening, right, or there is a speaking, or let me say that differently, there's a talking that is seen. Are we together? Yeah, are you together? So it's very important for you to see. So the word they mean there, like I said, is what that means. It needs to be explained, it needs to be revealed, it needs to be uncovered. Who needs to reveal? Who needs to explain? Who needs to uncover? Who needs the explanation? Who needs the revelation? Who needs the uncovering? Well, it's the minds of man, or the mind of man. All right? So the mind of man is the one that needs the uncovering and the what? Revelation of the tongues that is spoken. But when you speak in tongues, it needs explanation to man, but not to God, right? Because Paul says, when you speak in tongues, we speak it unto God. We speak unto God, right? So it will be to the mind of man that the interpretation is needed, right? So where do I speak to others from? I speak to others from my mind. So that is why you see people think, or we ideally, an average good person should be able to think before they talk. Are we together? So you talk from the wealth of what's going on in your mind. That is from the same place you bring interpretation to communicate what is going on with God's mind, or in God's mind, in such a way that the other can interpret, or can understand rather. So what will the other understand? What will your mind understand? Your mind will understand the interpretation. What will your mind not understand? Your mind will not understand the tongues. Yeah, the tongues will not be understood by your mind, but the tongues will be understood by God, or the tongues is speaking to God, right? But when it comes to interpretation, the mind of man is the goal. The mind of man is the central focus, right? That's the fulcrum that is being considered altogether, right? So when Paul says, you know, he speaketh mysteries. Now, that word mysteries there will speak about something that is hidden. Altogether, right? Something that is hidden, right? Then it needs to be uncovered. It needs to be uncovered, right? So who is he hidden to? It is hidden to the conscience, the minds of man. Altogether, right? So when we speak in tongues, there is something to know. Behind the scene, or behind the at the back of the tongues that is being heard, is something else that needs to be known, right? Something else that will need to be communicated, or something else that needs communication. All together. So when we talk in tongues, right, and we are talking to another, a third party, right, including our minds, we will need the interpretation. What we will not have is the understanding of the tongues. However, we can get the understanding of the tongues by paying attention to the interpretation of the tongues. Are we together? Right? So the interpretation of tongues is from the Spirit. The tongues is from the Spirit. But the tongues is from the Spirit. So look at it. The tongues is from the Spirit. Interpretation is from the same Spirit. Communication of the interpretation will be from the minds of man. Listen to that again one more time. Tongues from God's Spirit in man. Interpretation, God's Spirit in man. Communication of the interpretation, the mind in a man that is required for the communication of interpretation. Excuse me. So you see how a believer can say to another believer, you would experience peace in the coming days much more than ever before, right? That statement I just made, it comprises maybe seven, eight, nine words. However, while someone else can say you have peace, or you would experience peace, or you can say peace unto you. Right, do you understand? Right, what so who determines what is said? Whether peace unto you, you have peace, God's peace is your peace. Who determines it? It is the mind of the man that wants the mind of another to communicate it altogether. Right, so interpretation of tongues from the spirit, communication from the tongue, communication of the interpretation is from the understanding of man. I'll say one more time. The communication of the interpretation is from the mindset, the ideology of mind, or of man rather, the mind of man. So it means that man by default, right, will use the wealth of their knowledge in their mind to communicate the interpretation. Altogether, man, I'll say one more time, man will use the wealth of their knowledge, the wealth of their knowledge, one to one more time, man will use the wealth. So the wealth of your knowledge will determine how you communicate the interpretation. Altogether, what are you communicating? You are communicating the interpretation of the tongues. What will determine, or what will be the most determining factor in all of that? It is the wealth of your knowledge. Altogether. So when, for instance, one speaks in tongues, and what he wants to communicate is that there's a journey ahead, right? And he sees it in a very lucretious or lucretious way, or in a very ambiguous way, so to say, right? What's your attention go to? You see, those communications that are ambiguous in the real sense is the mind of man communicating to the mind of man. Altogether. So you see, there's some part of the world you will go to that even if they understand English, when you are going to communicate your interpretation on tongues, your choices of words must differ, should differ. Altogether, right? So who's responsible for the interpretation? The spirit. Who is responsible for the communicating? You know, a few years ago, I would have thought this, maybe 3, 4 years ago, I would have thought this as who is responsible for the interpretation, for the tongues, the spirit. Who is responsible for the interpretation? I would have said maybe the believer, the man, the saints. That's still very correct. So it's not a switch. But what I've done is I've taken that angle of interpretation and split into two, such that whereby there is the interpretation as a whole, and there is the communicating of the interpretation. There is the communication of the interpretation. So I just try to split it into two, right? So there is that which needs to be said. That which, so when man speaks in tongues and man says that I just sense peace, or I just see peace, yeah, or someone says I just see joy, yes, yeah, that's beautiful, that's lovely, right? Yeah, but when it comes to another believer who now comes and says, just like a man who will hear the sound of, you know, a good news and leap in rejoicing, just like a man who would hear, you know, yeah. So in all of those things, you are narrating a story to communicate, I sense joy. Who is responsible? It is because you have the words like, just like a man, yeah. Just it's because in your vocabulary, in your mind, there's a word leap. That is why you can use leap in the communication of the interpretation. Where is the interpretation from? Not from the mind. Where is the interpretation from? It is from the spirit. When a believer comes, for instance, and says and gives a tongue and gives an interpretation to the tongue, and underneath that is an instruction. Yeah, those instructions are from by the spirit. How the instructions are communicated is up to the man, is up to the woman, right? So it's very important for us to know this. So if you don't have a vast practice, a vast knowledge, a vast imputation, right, of a certain kind of language or knowledge into your mind, when it's time for you to communicate it, you will just be limited altogether. Now, why are you limited? Not because the spirit is limited, but it is because your mind is limited, right? What will you do to remove the cap of the limit of over your mind? Well, what you need to do is to give yourself voraciously more to knowledge. Okay, how do I know what I just said? Well, go to Colossians 3, go to Colossians 3:16, and just see what Paul says. That's Colossians 3:16, no? That's the one I'm looking for. Go to Colossians. I'm looking for Colossians. Maybe 3:12. Let's see. Try it. I'm looking for Colossians. No, 16. What have I said? Yeah, I think I'm correct. Yeah. What was that I was saying? Yeah. So if you look at look at the stuff, Colossians 3:12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and loved, right? Bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long suffering. Forbear one another, forgive one another. If any man has a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so all do also do ye. Now hold on, I'm about to say something. You see, those fruits that are mentioned, for instance, in Galatians, which some of them you see here, the only reason why the believer is expected to produce those fruits is because God is the repository of that fruit, of those fruits. Do you get that, right? So you see something, when your spirit understanding, let me say it differently, when your understanding of the Spirit of God, yeah, when spirit understanding can mean so many things. So one thing is, when you understand, that is your knowledge about the Spirit of God, is not correct. I can tell you for free, how you communicate the interpretation will not be correct. Not that you do not have the right interpretation, yeah, because you see something, your knowledge will help fine-tune or to give clarity to the interpretation altogether, right? Yeah, but if you are not patient enough, careful enough to give yourself voraciously to the reading of God's word, the learning of God's word, in your interpretation, we will see a flaw. So let me say that backwards. What I really mean is, we can know your knowledge in God's word by hearing your interpretation in tongues and interpretation, or by hearing. So a few years ago, what I just said will be what I'll say, right? By hearing your interpretation, right? Yeah, from tongues, your interpretation of tongues, right? But now, because I split it, I'll say it, by hearing your communication of the interpretation. And we're together, what will happen? We will clearly know what your knowledge of God's Spirit is. So if you come and speak in tongues, upon the shakis of our patin, the does of our key, out upon the kish karat, the post of etan, the post of our. Right, and you know, say, and thus says the Lord, and thus says the Lord, that you see that man. Now you see my tone changed. Okay, yeah. So which one is? Listen, yeah. So and thus says the Lord. You see that man, yeah. The man who seems to be, troublesome. The man who seems to not want you to get promoted at work. The man who seems to be sitting. Right. You see, and then you say the man. When you finish the man who seems, let's hear what you want to say afterwards. You see, once you now switch from the man who seems, we now hear, yeah, and for by my spirit I was slain by the morning, yeah, for he will sleep this night and not wake up, right? Thus says the Lord, and I will slay him by the spirit, right? And he will just get to bed, and he will just turn around, and he will just slide from the bed. Yeah, what are you doing? Yes, you are communicating your interpretation based on your knowledge. Are we together? Yeah, there's a knowledge you would have before your interpretation or communication interpretation can be what? Spirit-filled. Are we together? So in all the things you did, what did you do that was correct? The interpretation or your sensing of the interpretation. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Right? Okay, looks like I'm not splitting what I split into two A and 2B. Right? So there is interpretation of tongues, okay? Yeah, there is interpretation of tongues, right? That is by the Spirit. So the conclusion of the interpretation of the Spirit of tongues, or it is something that the Spirit gives. Our together, yeah. Tongues is from what? The Spirit, right? It's a spiritual language, okay, right? So when you now hear your interpretation, yeah, your sensing and your communicating can differ. Our together can be improved on. Let me say that differently. Your sensing or discerning of the interpretation and your communication is something you get better at over time. So it's very easy for you as a believer to just wake up one morning, speak in tongues, and just start cursing everybody at your workplace. I would get that. You know, I always say something. Yeah, you see some believers a lot of times when they are praying for people who are fighting them, really, truly, everyone is fighting. Everybody has somebody who they think is fighting them, right? So when you hear the kind of prayer point they pray against them, right? You realize that, maybe the person leading them says, oh, Lord, you're going to pray this prayer with all your might and strength and energy. And you will pray, you call the name of Jesus 3 times. You say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. All those people that do not want my breakthrough to break through, all those people that do not want me to break through, What are you living for? So my soul tumble, catch fire, and die in the name of Jesus. So what did they do? They prayed from their understanding, switched to tongues. The moment you switch to tongues, you've left your understanding behind, because by the Spirit, you will not be able to communicate those kind of things from the place of the Spirit. Altogether. All right. So when you say, I command you to, you know, sometimes you just say some people's prayer point and you just understand the wickedness in the heart of man, right? You want someone who is fighting you, yeah, or somebody who is competing with you to get a promotion in your workplace. You want him to, you know, somersault. You want him to tumble, to jump up, to hit his head on the ceiling, hit his head on the floor. Then you now want somersault. Then you're not okay with broken bones. You're not okay with his head, you know, injured. What do you go for that to? You see, right? You see, all those things, they reveal the intent or the intention or the knowledge of a man. Once you see a man, right, praying for another man to die or to be destroyed or to be terminated, that's a reverend. So what they do is that a lot of times we take our ignorant understanding, right? Yeah, shallow understanding to the place of prayer, right? That is why when we go to the place of prayer, we go with a renewed mind. Yeah, we don't take our shallow understanding of God, our shallow understanding of God's love, and go into the place of prayer and force God to do what we want God to do or what we want to happen, right? You know, some of us, we have a will. We go to prayer telling God what we think he should do. Yeah, imagine somebody just praying. I say, every man fighting me, what are you living for? Come, I saw catch fire, die. After I finish praying, I say, the will of God will be done. Let the will of God, Lord, your will not mine, your will not mine. But you've been trying to push your will into his hands altogether, right? So when you see someone praying this kind of prayer, what you need to see in all of that is the fact that they are not paying attention to knowledge. Yeah, they are not paying attention to the knowledge of the Spirit. For when you have a good knowledge of the Spirit, you'll be able to discern. You'll be able to discern. Yeah, so look at it this way. Yeah, so if by the Spirit, you know, Agabus, we saw that a few weeks ago in Acts, Agabus by the Spirit will determine or discern, right, that there will be what? Famine in the land, right? And what will happen? They will walk around it and create a way of escape, right? Now, can a believer see evil happening ahead before it happens? Oh, yes, he can. Are we together? Yes, he can. Altogether, yeah. That's why you see examples, for instance, of when Paul will know that people are looking for him, he will what? They will carry him into a basket and disappear into out of the city. Yeah. So there are ways and all of those things happen, right? Yeah. But should the believer be found? Should the believer be found in your interpretation, bringing your desire and wish upon and praying it upon people who offend you or who do evil to you? Oh no. Oh no, 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 no. You can now do that and eventually say, let the will of God be done. Is what am I saying now? Is when we hear your interpretation, we know where your knowledge is. Okay, now you are in Colossians 3. Go to 1 Peter. You are in Colossians 3. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. No. I'll probably be going to 2 Peter 3:18. That's what I'm going to. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. What does it say there? It says, grow in grace, which is in the knowledge of our Lord, I mean to say, Savior. That's the word there, and. Grow in grace, that is in the knowledge of our Lord. And so how does a man grow in grace? A man grows in grace as when he grows in the knowledge. That's what Paul is teaching here. The word there and is the word key, right? I mean to say that is to say, 2 Corinthians 13:14. That's the same word used as and. John 3:5, John 3:3, John 3:5, John 3:6, John 3:7. That's the same word used, born of water, I mean to say of the Spirit, right? So what is Paul saying? Knowledge is important for the believer. Now, what did Paul say, Peter say about Paul? Look at how we got there. Look at 2 Peter 3:15. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Look at what it says. It says, an account, that is, take into account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. So when you see God suffer long, it is because the conclusion of that matter is God wants to save man. Okay? So an account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all these epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things had to be understood. So who is Peter talking about? Peter is talking about the man, brother Paul. right? See what Peter now says. Peter now says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But win grace. So man as a believer is to grow in knowledge. Go back to Colossians 3. Colossians chapter 3. What is man to grow in? Grow in grace, which is in the knowledge of Christ. The knowledge of Christ. That is not, you know, Paul would have said, no one calling Jesus, you know, no one speaking about Jesus, or no one calling, how did he say it again? 1 Corinthians 12, right? Yeah, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 2. It says, no man speaking by the Spirit called Jesus accursed. Yeah. No man speaking by the Spirit called Jesus accursed. Right. So what I'm saying is, when you grow in knowledge of Christ, you are growing in the knowledge of the Spirit. Okay. That's why I went there, really. Yeah. So Paul now says, forbearing one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, also forgive them. Verse 14. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Right, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. All together. Now look at where I'm going to Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ. Now the word there, word there, can be used as a word teaching or doctrine. Okay, let the doctrine of Christ, let the teaching of Christ, let the message of Christ, right? Yeah, dwell in you richly. Yeah, so how will you learn to allow the word of God dwell in you richly? Yeah, by growing in grace. So you grow in grace, that is to say, I mean to say, in the revelation and the knowledge, right, of our Lord and Savior. Okay, so let the word of Christ, the message of Christ, the doctrine of Christ, the teaching of Christ dwell in you richly, in our wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, in hymns, in spiritual songs. Okay, so now, you know, on Sunday we had about two psalms in church, if you remember, right? How were those psalms able to be established? The people who gave the psalms by default are people who have given themselves to the revelation of God's word. They've given themselves to the, so they are people who have obeyed verse 16 of Colossians 3. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you. It is because the word of Christ dwells richly in them, they know about what can come from the word of Christ, right? So if, for instance, we hear your psalms, we're going to do psalms one of these Sundays. So if we hear psalms particularly, so if we hear your psalms, and what we hear from your psalms is that, and you shall die because you stepped on the anointed. Oh, the anointed is full of annoyance because you stepped on his toe. And imagine the person now say, because he stepped on his toe, because he stepped in his spirit. One thing you need to know is that what you will pay, and pay heavily. Yet, what have we seen? We've seen a revelation of the extent of your obedience to the doctrine of Christ being allowing it to dwell in you. So the word they allow, let, is the word allow. First Colossians 3:16. So allow the word, let the message, let the doctrine, let the teaching, allow the message of Christ dwell richly in you. Altogether, let it dwell richly in you. Let it dwell richly in you. Let it dwell richly in you. Yeah, where am I? 1 Corinthians 12, 14. So go back to 1 Corinthians 14. So how do we know that you are not obeying Colossians 3? When we see the things you say. So see, can a man be studying the Bible, and in reading the Bible, is not allowing the doctrine, the message, the teaching of Christ to permeate his heart? Oh, yes. So reading your Bible is not enough. It is, what is the conclusion you get? So if you speak in tongues, and your interpretation, your communication of your interpretation, it took, you know, is to cause havoc altogether. So havoc does not mean you are sensing and seeing by the Spirit something evil that can possibly happen. Now, havoc is you are in, because from a place of hurt or offense, because of anything, you are now creating interpretations. Yeah, that's what you're doing. Yeah. So when you hear by fire, by force, by fire, by thunder, any man, any woman born of a woman, fighting me and fighting my progress in life. What are you living for? Somersault, catch fire, and die in the name of Jesus. Well, see, the last I checked, the name Jesus means God saves, Yeshua saves. Jesus saves. That's what Jesus, God saves, rather, right? Or salvation comes, or salvation. So you can, when you, no matter the etymology you use to view the name Jesus, you will end up with the conclusion that God is a saving God. So you can't say, I command man to die and perish by fire in the name of the Lord who saves, in the name of the Lord who redeems, in the name of the one, or name of the one who tries to ensure that no one perishes. Perishes by giving his life. So you cannot, in that middle of that knowledge, so because your knowledge is wrong, your knowledge is porous, your knowledge is offensive, right? Yeah, your knowledge is sort of smelly, really, right? You, when we hear your conclusion in your tongue's interpretation, we will say, yeah. So it's empty for Psalms, for instance. When we hear your Psalms, we will say, yeah. Now look at it. Have you not seen in church sometimes we have some psalms, right? And maybe after it has been sung, I look at it again, and you know, I look at it again, and I'm like, wow, it looks like we can change that word. It looks like we should change this word. It looks like we should change this life. Yeah, it happens. Yeah. So when that happens, what was being done? So, you know, there are songs of thanksgiving, songs of instruction, songs of praise, songs of devotion, songs of consecration, songs of, you know, prayer. So there are different, you know, wings and dimensions and categories. I was going to use the word dimensions, right, of songs that can happen, right? But in the real sense, you understand. So your understanding of the knowledge of Christ in the place of prayer, or your understanding of prayer through the lens of Christ, will determine your interpretation or your sensing and communicating of the interpretation of tongues. Altogether, I'll break this down some more in the coming days. Altogether, so look at First Corinthians 14 again. So if you look at First Corinthians 14 again, it says, "He that speaketh," verse 4, "in an unknown tongues edifies himself." Now that word there, edify, is equal to mirror, that is to build up, right? But when the professor, or when the prophet speaks in tongues, the prophet edifies himself. When the prophet edifies the church, that means interpretation was done. Altogether, that means interpretation was done, right? So if you look carefully in verse 26, go to 1 Corinthians 14, we'll go back to Colossians 3:30. "How is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm?" Everyone. So did you see what happened on Sunday, right? We're having a believer's meeting, right? And as we're having a believer's meeting, we had, you know, the first person come out, give us tongues interpretation. Are we together? Yeah? You see, as we were gathered together, because we were gathered in the Spirit, by the Spirit, with the Spirit, it means that every one of us had a psalm. Did you understand? You see, so if we had allowed service to last longer than it did, we would have had more psalms than we did. Are we together? Right? What did Paul say? Yeah, how is it then, brethren? When ye come together, every one of you had a psalm. Every one of you had a psalm. Every one of you had a doctrine. Every one of you had a psalm, had a tongue. Yeah? So you see somebody will come with a tongue. And in the tongue, you see interpretation and you see teaching. You will see interpretation, you will see a doctrine, you see interpretation, you will see instructions, and you see revelation. Are we together, right? So you hear in tongues and you hear the interpretation. But there is one here who has been bothered around, you know, interactions with your neighbor. You heard that on Sunday. Are we together? What was that? That's a revelation. That's something being revealed in the place of tongues and interpretation through the vehicle of interpretation. Do you get what I'm trying to say, right? So your interpretation will be as follows. So me, probably 7-8 years ago, yeah, my tongues and interpretation will probably be the max I could do then. Yeah, I think I would have consistently be doing a minute into 2 minutes, yeah. And prior to that, I would have consistently been doing 30 seconds, right? See, you should not be one found doing 30 seconds of interpretation in 2018 and still be doing 30 seconds in 2024. Yeah, in fact, it shouldn't be 21 or 31 seconds. No, it shouldn't be 30. It shouldn't be in that neighborhood. Yeah, you shouldn't be. Why? Because you can journey through the things of the spirit. You can journey in the things of the spirit. You can also journey in the things of the spirit. It's very, very important for you to know that as believers. So when you see someone, like I said, over and over, we can gauge your spiritual temperature on your private life when we see you minister in the local church, when we see you praying in the local church. Right? So me 7 years ago, me 6 years ago, me 8 years ago, there's a huge difference. There's a huge gap altogether. Right? Yeah. I was listening to the utterances that I gave during the inaugural service of the UK church. Right? And you see, that was 2 years ago. And even as a 2 years ago, compared to now, the difference has changed. Right? Yeah. I have a recording of probably 25, 30 minutes with tongues interpretation. Altogether, strictly tongues interpretation, not, like nothing else in the middle, just tongues interpretation. Yeah, 25, 30 minutes. You get that, right? That's a huge gap from 30 seconds to 30 seconds has now become 30 minutes altogether, right? So I'm just trying to say you can get better, but only by the giving of intentionality to practice to become better. Yeah. So when somebody comes, so Paul says, well, brethren, how is it then, brethren? Who is Paul addressing? He's addressing saints. When we come together, every one of you had a psalm. Every one of you had a psalm. Every one of you had a tongue. That's why we say when you lead, when you see our singers lead, right? Yeah, just on the spot. Yeah, just on the spot. We should be having more of that. Just on the spot, you give us a psalm. Yeah. So is it a good thing to rehearse? Yes, it's good. Yeah. Is it a good thing to practice? Yes, it is. Good. Is it a good thing to practice, then rehearse, then do private rehearsal and pray? Oh, yes, it is. Yeah. But you see, Paul says, when we come together, every one of you has a sound. So it means from time to time, we should have experiences when people who lead us in singing, are we together, give us a psalm. Yeah, it could be just before they sing the song that is being rehearsed. It could be right in the middle of when they are singing the song that is already rehearsed. It could be at the end of after singing the songs already rehearsed. The point remains that Paul says, when we come together, every one of us has a psalm. Every one of you had a doctrine. Every one of you had a tongue, had a revelation, had an interpretation. Let all things be done unto what? Edifying. Let all things be done unto edifying. So how by default do we now use tongues and interpretation on the backbone or as an illustration in Psalms with Psalms? Yeah, go back to Colossians where we were. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3, verse 16. Are you there? Have you got them? Look at Colossians 3, 16. So what it says there? It says, let the word, that is the message, the doctrine of Christ, dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing. So it means that our psalms will teach. I would get that. It means that the songs we sing should teach, should be doctrinal. So what is the easiest and fastest way to get a psalm as a believer? Take the doctrines you have learned and put into songs. Altogether, take the doctrines you've learned and put into songs. When you take the doctrine that you've learned and put into song, what does it become? Spiritual song. If you notice very well, verse 16, Bible says, let the word of God dwell richly in you in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and chanting and hymns. No. You see, people say that chanting is a sound of warfare of angels. See, when you start getting spooky about the things of the spirit, you usually miss a lot or miss out on a lot altogether, but you think you are in the in thing. Yeah, so the Bible doesn't teach chanting as a form of praise. No, the Bible teaches singing. You know, remember Paul in 1 Corinthians 14 will say, I sing in tongues and sing in my understanding. Paul will say, I pray in tongues, I pray in my understanding. Paul never thought about chant in tongues. Could there be chance in understanding? Yeah. So with a lot of times, we just get emotional. You see, you know, there are some songs you just listen to. I was just listening to them. You feel like you have said of. No. The chanting worked on your emotions. The chanting worked. You see, when a man chants and you are crying from a man chanting, it's not that there is something about the chanting. It is that the man is able to handle. You know, people know how to handle atmospheres. Not just Christians or pastors can do it. altogether. Yeah, a spirit of divination, one divination is in place, it can be so similar to what you will find, you know, in a lot of places that, you know, people call on the name of Jesus. That's the truth. Yeah, so the Bible doesn't teach chanting. The Bible, I don't know how I got there today, but I just said I should drop it there altogether. What is chanting? Yeah, when you say no. Yeah, in fact, that gets to the point where people now chant and people now re-echo it. Well, either it is re-echoed or not re-echoed. Are we together? Yeah, are we together? You don't need to get yourself worked up in all those things. Yeah. So when you sing a song, in the middle of your song, you just say, "Hey ya ya, hey ya ya, hey ya ya, hey ya ya, hey ya." You see that you cannot substantiate that from scriptures. You cannot substantiate that from teaching ministry of Jesus. You can't substantiate that from teaching ministry of Peter, Paul, neither of the apostles. I was together. What is a ya ya? What is ayaya you ayaya you ayaya you? See, if you close your eyes, do ayaya you for 5 minutes, your hair will not be normal again. That's it. Your emotions are already involved. I was together. You see, if I want your head to spin, one of the first things I can do to you is to give you a chance to say and ask you to turn around. When I ask you to stop, you will fall. Should we try it? You will fall. Altogether, you will fall. Do you understand? So there's no point getting yourself all worked up. See, what is teaching? Look at Paul again. Colossians 3, verse 16. Let the message of Christ. The message of Christ does not produce What does that mean? What does that mean? Paul says, let the message, yeah, how did that emanate? How did that start? Okay, in case you miss it, what did Paul say? Every one of you, when you come together as brethren, every one of you, 1 Corinthians 14, had a psalm, had a tongue, had an interpretation, had a chant. I wish Paul just added the word chant there. Then would have just killed all these arguments. Altogether, people are having up and down. Altogether. Yeah, you see, chanting, the truth is, chanting, there are sounds you make. Have you not seen that people who do a lot of this teleporting, I'm not saying you should go and research on them, right? You see, there are sounds they make. You know, when you see some shrines, you see there are sounds they make. Yeah, because by default, sounds or, you know, what you call chanting as a concept, it has a very huge affiliation with the mind and emotions of man. Or it touches the emotions of man to a very, very, very large extent. I want to get a pause. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Yeah. So if we give you mic to sing and you come, I say, come give you a I say, come and give us a psalm. All you start doing is you out of the place so that you are we together? Yeah, we are the mic from you, right? Then we are you back to your seat. Are we together? Yeah, because see, that's the only reason why you do that is because of the things you've exposed your heart to, right? So you've listened to people who do it, or you listen to them, and maybe you do it in your prayer time, you watch them your prayer time. You see, that's the truth is, sometimes we listen to very strange songs that are not doctrinally persuasive, not doctrinally correct in our times of prayer, yeah? And in the real sense, because we do that, we forget that our subconscious also picks things from that sense, that atmosphere. Fair. All together. So if someone says, I'm a music minister, you're a sound minister, give us a sound. You now give us a what does that really mean? And you are singing for 10 minutes. What exactly is What does A-U-U, what does it mean? What does it mean? Like, define it. What does it mean? All together. We can explain tongues. We can explain interpretation. We can explain revelation. We can explain what does AUU, what does AYAYA, what does KAKU, what is that? You know, if I get so ridiculous sometimes, most of the people, I was talking to a friend recently, right? And there's a song we used to sing or used to be played the 1 year like that in school. Was a song that had to do, I can't remember the name. Lord, we love you, love you, love you. Huh? An Amneka or something like that, yeah. You know, and there was a punk, the guy that the minister that sang did in the meeting, right? And you would not believe that, you know, the brother had now sang the song in our school when we ministered it in the chapel. Then he replicated the tongues. How did we learn the things we do? He replicated the tongues. Are we together? You know, and the funny thing is that because the way they even tongue, I mean, everybody knows the song. We Scotty, we listen to it very well, you know, so we know the tongues when we hear it. And the brother listened to the song to the last note and still scored the tongues on top. Are we together? Right? Yeah. You see, sometimes we just need to sit down, ask ourselves questions regarding the things we do, the things we say. Paul says, let the message. It is when you don't have as much of the message, you are looking for chance. What exactly is spiritual chance? Spiritual chance just really means, look at it, it's not from the spirit. Hold on, it's not from the spirit. The best you can call a spiritual chance is sounds and noises that people make in an atmosphere that they eventually now spiritualize. All together. What does I hear? You, people are crying. Like, why are you crying? Yeah, you know, and as I always tell you that when you see people crying on some things, sometimes nobody asks you to go and find out, but you just find out a lot of times that, you know, people are crying for different reasons. Somebody is crying while they're listing their holy ears. All they are crying about is that their rent is due tomorrow, or their bills are to be paid, and they are owing, you know, Scottish government. They are owing, yeah, so many things that go through the minds of people, right? But don't just think that because people are crying, or you too, you are crying. Even you too that you are crying, we need to check. Yeah. So let the message, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Look how it says, teaching and admonishing. What does admonishing mean? Admonishing is like that word, ekadomio, right? To build up, to edify. He says, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and chants. No, he didn't say that though. He says, one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts, Lord. Singing with grace. So what is singing in in the spirit, for lack of a better word, or speaking in tongues? It actually means you take your tongues and put musical tones to it. Now, musical tones don't have to be accurate, but everybody knows it is definitely a succession of notes in the musical world. All together, yeah. What did I just say? There is do re mi fa sol la ti do, do ti la sol fa mi re do. Yeah. So when you sing, or when you put do re mi fa sol la ti do in your tongues as a tone, as an intonation, you are giving an intonation to your tongues. You are singing in tongues. All together, right? So when you sing in tongues, finish, right? And you've concluded your tongues, and you are now interpreting to us. We will know from your interpretation if tongues is just one of those things you use to cover up your lack of knowledge, or actually you are giving yourself voraciously to the message of Christ. You know, I said something a few weeks ago. I said a lot of us, we pray a lot in tongues because we cannot pray a lot in understanding, right? So Paul says, I pray in tongues in understanding. I pray in tongues and I pray in my understanding. I sing in tongues and sing in my understanding. What we do a lot of times, we sing a lot in our understanding. We don't sing a lot in tongues. What we do a lot is we pray a lot in tongues. We don't pray a lot in understanding. Some of us think that tongues is a way of, a way of just trying to express, you know. No. Tongues by default is a language of the spirit that aids, or that is seen as a communication within the believer and God. Speaking mysteries unto God, and speaking mysteries unto men, rather. So Paul says, yeah, let the message of Christ dwell in you. Look at how Paul teaches that in Ephesians chapter 5 again, verse 18. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Right, so if you love, the truth is, you need to give yourself more to God's word to learn how to get psalms from the Spirit by the Spirit. Okay, so look at all Paul teaches in Ephesians chapter 5. He says in verse 18, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein in excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit." Some people say that Paul says, "Drink wine, but don't drink it plenty." Okay, well, but that's not what he's teaching, right? And being not drunk with wine. So what he's saying is talking about that there is something called intoxication for the believer. However, your intoxication should not be derived from wine. Your intoxication should be derived by from within the Spirit, and should be of the Spirit. So to be filled, now we've talked about time, there's a difference between being full of the Spirit and being filled with the Spirit. To be full of the Spirit, every believer is. To be filled of the Spirit, a believer needs to act altogether. So there'll be something that the believer will do, and we'll see that he was filled with the Spirit. So when you speak in tongues, that's you being filled, right? When you don't speak in tongues, your default state is you being full. So when Bible teaches You know, people teach it as spirit within, spirit upon. Yeah, but the same thing is just really about the spirit within. That, you know, is about the spirit that you receive upon salvation. Spirit upon is when the spirit of God gets on you and you now start to do activities. Yeah, beautiful illustration, beautiful examples, but you must not get the point to miss the point, because that explanation is what I've, you know, I've had lots of people who have reached out to me and tell me that they are waiting for the spirit to come upon them. What they trying to mean is that they are actually, you know, waiting for the spirit to now descend on them, they will act. I always get that. Meanwhile, spirit upon is actually you doing the job of taking from the spirit within to be upon. Upon just really means another will see, others will see. So Paul says, do not be drunk with any wine. So it means that there are activities of the spirit that we will see, and it will show an attitude of intoxication. Altogether, in that church, I don't like that church. Why would they be laughing as if something is wrong with them? Well, Paul says, do not be drunk with wine wearing in excess. Look at what Paul compares with being filled with the Spirit, drunkenness with wine. So it means there's a form of staggering, there's a form of intoxication that happens when you actually get yourself filled with the Spirit. So it means that there's a reservoir of wine on our inside, and that's the wealth of God's Spirit on our inside. And we can take from it and just drink. We can take from it and just drink. And what I mean by take from it and drink is not to literally take from a bowl, but literally to just act out in faith by the Spirit. Act out in faith from the Spirit. Do something by the Spirit. Do something extraordinary. Do something that is supernatural and spiritual. Altogether. So Bible says, be not drunk while we're in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That is, be filled with the Spirit. That is, be filled with the Spirit. That is, be filled with the Spirit. So to be filled with the Spirit will mean for you to have an action or give a demonstration of an action that will make it easy for other people to see of a truth. There is something intoxicating this one. So what intoxicates the believer? It should not be wine. It should be the things of the Spirit. It should be the Spirit. Are we together? So look at verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms. So what does speaking do? You remember we said the word there, speaking means intentionally talking, you know, used for talking frequently or regularly. So speaking to yourself. So when we speak to ourselves in psalms, what are we doing? We are being filled with the Spirit. A sister gave us a psalm on Sunday. A brother gave us a psalm on Sunday. What were they doing? They were being filled with the Spirit. They spoke to us our psalms. They spoke to us psalms. So let me say it differently. So psalms, and so when we hear your psalms, and you get your tongues here, interpretation, and what you sing from your interpretation is, you know, 10 words this year. 20 years from now is 10 words, right? And it's almost as if you repeated, you know, some of us, we can remix our interpretation of tongues altogether. Yeah, now look at it. What do you mean by remix? Is it wrong to remix? No, no, it's not at all. Yeah, but let it be that what you are remixing is from the wealth and riches of a lot you have already done. All together, yeah. So speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Look how it says in verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and unto the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, unto yourself one to another in the fear of God. So it means that if your song doesn't teach, if your song doesn't instruct in the message and doctrine of Christ, we need to check your song again. So what does Ayaya do? What does Uyuyu do? It does not do anything. Not teaching, not instructing, it doesn't edify. No, you don't get edified from a chant session. No. Your emotion just got bubbled up. Altogether. Your emotion just got bubbled up. Altogether. You see, let me tell you something. There are things that a man of God, a pastor, a minister, music minister, or somebody who leads others can say, and it works on the emotions of people. Okay, so we need to be extra careful, you know, not to just be, you know, follow the bandwagon of expressionless or expressiveness, you know, with the slightest chant or slightest on doctrinal things. Why you cry, you rolling on the floor because they are chanting? I don't see. Let me tell you something. If it is that they sang proper, solid doctrine song and, you know, all giving of thanks and, you know, song of deliverance, song of redemption, some, yeah, and we are acting on that, maybe at the end they put the chant there. Okay, well, let you know. But don't let it be the chant that is making you to respond. Yeah. You know that when you hear chants, a lot of times you get goosebumps. Yeah, it's emotions. You need to get serious. It's emotions. Yeah, you need to get serious. Now, can you get goosebumps when the message of Christ is sung? Oh, yes, now, definitely. You know, sometimes we just sing some songs, and in my head, I'm just like, how did the author of this song come up with this song? Yeah. How did this? Yeah, but you just know, yeah, there are people who have obeyed Colossians 3:16. They've allowed the doctrine, the message, the teaching of Christ to dwell richly in their hearts. Because out of the abundance, are we together? Yeah, out of the abundance of what they put on their inside, they are now speaking, they are now singing. Are we together? Right? So we need to ensure that we actually get ourselves to a place of giving interpretation of tongues by the Spirit and actually stay within the confines of what the Bible teaches. All together. So in a believer's meeting, we come together and want to sing psalms. What do? You can sing a psalm. You can sing a psalm and give us a psalm and give us a lyric and give us some lyrics and give us some words. Sometimes you might not have a tune. All together, you just write a psalm. So psalms does not always have to start with interpretation. So psalms, spiritual songs, and hymns, they don't always have to start with tongues. I'm sorry. All together, then you always interpret. No, you can actually have, you can sit down right now and listen to what I've put today and write a psalm. You know, every of our meeting can come up with a psalm. Every. There is no meeting we've had as a church or we will have as a church that we cannot end with a psalm. Not one. I'm talking about new psalms, new hymns, spiritual songs. That is songs that deplete or that depict the importance of the Spirit and the work of the Spirit on the earth today. All together. Yeah. So, you know, you can listen to me, right? Which I expect you to do. As you listen to me, after this teaching, take out time and write a psalm. Yeah. Take out time, write a psalm. Yeah, you can put into practice, right? So look at it. Okay, today, what have I thought about? I've thought about tongues interpretation, giving expression of tongues interpretation in singing. All together. So you can write a psalm, right? You can we're talking about the Spirit of God as a response, as his response, as the one responsible for tongues. All together. So a psalm like this is simple, right? I have God's Spirit. God's Spirit dwells on my inside. God's ability dwells in his Spirit, and his Spirit dwells on my inside, so I flow with the things of the Spirit. I just give you a psalm. I can take another stanza and just say, well, tongues interpretation, they are natural to me because the Spirit's ability has become my natural ability. That's a psalm. Yeah, so you can pick this word and actually put it into it all together, right? I will not draw back, I will not hold back, I will not coward out, right, when it comes to giving tongues and interpretation, right? Because it's something that can flow endlessly, it's something that can flow without ceasing, it's something that will flow, so I will flow. Are we together? Right? I just give you a psalm, right? I just give you a 6, 7, 8 line psalm right now. So what did I just do? I've picked what I've taught today, compressed into a song, I will sing it. All together, and we sing it, and we sing it. Do you understand? I just what I'm saying, right? Yeah. So think about previous preaching, the revelation gifts. All together, we can give another psalm. All together, we can say we can give a psalm. God's Spirit reveals. God's Spirit reveals man to man. God's Spirit reveals His plan to man. Man will see by opening their eyes in the Spirit. Man will hear by opening their ears in the Spirit. Man can see visions. Man can see, man can have a word of knowledge. A man can have a word of wisdom. And a man can use all of these things for the edification of the church. Yeah, that's another psalm. It's not complex. So no, it's not complex. See, don't get carried away by people who just put musical. Every believer should be a music composer. What do you mean by I'm a composer? What do you mean by that? Do you understand? Yeah, what do you mean by that? You are only a composer. Let me tell you, what makes your composing much more widely accepted and everything, and what people will call trending and all those on scriptural unethical method by which people gauge singing and songs today, is just your wealth and knowledge of music. That's just the truth. Truth is that no matter how much you try to give a song, right, if you are not somebody who has some basics in music, yeah, it will show. There's always going to be a difference between somebody who there's going to be a difference between when a keyboardist gives you a song or a psalm altogether, right? And when a saint gives you a psalm, they'll you if listen to what I just said, be careful what I'm just saying. There's going to be a difference. Where will the difference be found? Difference will not be found in the content, it will be found in the musicality. Did you get what I just said? Yeah. Your content is only to the degree of obeying Colossians 3. Let the word, let the message, let the doctrine. Yeah, your content is only to that degree. Your content can only be mature to the degree of you obeying Colossians 3:16, right? But my content might sound more musically accepted because I'm already musically inclined, because there's something about music. So we see, so let me tell you something. What we hear from the Spirit are majorly lyrics, majorly words. Let me say differently. Yeah, we have tongues, we have words from the spirit. When it comes to the musicality of songs, yeah, it is man that determines it. It is you that can decide in your, even your ignorance, you know, maybe you don't know a lot about music, and your song gives us a progression of do, la, do, la, re, so. Yeah, your song can give us do, fa, so, fa. Your song can give us do, ti, la, so. Yeah, so it depends on how musically inclined you are, or let me say that differently, how musically exposed you are altogether. So if we are asked to give a psalm, right, yeah, if you think your music is not necessarily, say, well, sing it in tongues, yeah, then you can give us the lyrics, then we can give you a tune. You get that, right? You get that, right? Yeah. So we need to ensure that we don't get ourselves carried away with all manners and kinds and distractions and all manners of things that will not help the believer to grow, right? Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 14 this evening. First Corinthians 14, 26. Yeah. So how is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you had a psalm? You see, this in itself is a psalm. We can sing a psalm from this. And the psalm can just go, when we gather together as a church, when we come together as God's palace, right? We are rest assured that God's spirit will move. We are rest assured that God's spirit will move. We are rest assured that the believers will be edified, the believers will be exalted, the believer will be comforted. I receive edification, I receive exhortation, I receive comfort. For when I stepped into this place today, I came with a sound. When I stepped into this place today, I came with a revelation for the help and aid of another. That's another psalm. Is not, see, you can write 1,000 songs between now and Sunday for free. The only thing that will limit you is your knowledge in the message, in the doctrine of Christ. Yeah? So we are a church that when we come together, we acknowledge that we have tongues in our midst. We are a church that when we come together, we acknowledge that we have, you know, interpretation in our midst. We have visions, we have revelations, we have words of wisdom, words of knowledge, right? We give clearly what God would have us, you know, what we give clearly, we say clearly what God will have us to say, and would ensure that we all live built up. We ensure that everyone does not live the same. We ensure that we make the most and the best of our meeting. That's another song. Amen, 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 amen. All together. The Paul says, when we come together, right, brethren, right, you see, you can use the brethren and give a psalm. You can say, Christ died for mankind. Christ died for both men and women. Christ has given his message to humanity. Christ in his message, right, has made those who believe brethren. And when we come together, we are as brethren who come together to give praise to God. And we will come with the intention, right, to give a psalm, to give a, you know, you can go on, 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 without stopping. You can do it for days, you can do it for months, you can do it for hours. Suppose, well, let all things be done unto edifying. If any man speak in tongues, right, let it be by two, or most by three, right? Now, if you look at verse 30, if anything be revealed to another that seated by, right? What's the teaching here? Order, we should have said this before. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted, and the spirits of the prophet are subject. That's one important verse there. Yeah, the spirit of the prophet are subject to the prophet. That means the words, the utterances, the flow in the real sense of the spirit, right? It can be stifled, it can be stopped. Yeah, it means that when it comes to the gathering of saints, you can decide to be orderly. We can decide to be orderly. In fact, we should not just we can decide, we actually should be orderly. Look at how Paul ends it in verse 3. For God is not an author of confusion. God is not an author of confusion. God is not an author. That means God does not author confusion. God does not author confusion, does not prepare, does not initiate, does not, you know, what do you call it, does not generate, that's the word, or does not permit or tolerate or should allow disorderliness. No, there should be order. There should be order. There should be order. When every one of you come together, everyone has a psalm. But that we have a psalm does not now mean that everybody will now be talking at we. No. That's not what Paul is saying. No, Paul is saying that when we come together, we all have a psalm, but we will do it in an orderly manner. All together. Yeah, not because Paul said everybody has a psalm. Now you not come to church and just have scattering service. So no, that's not what Paul is teaching. No, that's not what Paul is teaching. That's not what Paul is teaching at all. Paul is not teaching disorderliness. Paul is teaching order in the local church. Paul is teaching order within the local church. Paul is teaching order among saints. Paul is teaching order within the confines of brethren gathering together in the name of the Lord. Altogether. So who are you? You are one who will have the ability of the Spirit, but you would have to act on it. 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 You would have to do things, say things, right? You would have to ensure that you find yourself in a place, in a place in your spiritual life where you are growing, where you are increasing, where you are improving. Oh, well, it's been a pleasure to bring God's word your evening today. I hope you're way this evening today. I hope you've been instructed by that, right? You see, between now and Sunday, take out time, sing psalms in your private bedroom, in your private space, so to say, right? And edify yourself, bring comfort. You have one partner, you have one neighbor, you have friends, and give instructions, give revelation, you know, give comfort, bring exhortation and education, right? And show you act and practice on the things that we're learning. On Sunday, we have another practical session again on Sunday, and we just trust that, you know, by God's Spirit, we would do as much as we can on Sunday. Well, until I come away again on Sunday, have a lovely, lovely, lovely evening. Don't forget, we're having a prayer and fasting all through next week. We're going to make official announcement regarding that from Sunday. Just ensure that you get yourself ready to partake in that. Well, I'll see you on Sunday. Have a lovely night rest. Cheers. I love you all.